talk a little bit about this idea, which is a little bit confusing to certain people, and it's not so clear. To talk a little, speak it out a little bit. This idea of the people that has become popular, which is the idea to living in the now, to be living in the now. So for starters, a lot of times when people think about what it means to be living in the now, it assumes that it means, and this is a superficial understanding of this idea, that it means that whatever you're doing right now, or whatever's presented right now, is the most important part of time. That there's a possibility for a person to say, I could do something now, or I could do something in a moment from now, or something's being presented to me right now, and whatever's being presented for me to do right now, that is the most important thing for me to do. And that's a true statement, and it's very valid, but that's not what really living in the now means. That's doing things within the now, but that's not really living in the now. Another alternative way, the way some people understand this, which is also absolutely incorrect, and is related to the first way of understanding it, is that they're translating what it means to be, for a person to say that I want to live in the now, means I want to live for the now. So whatever the now is, I want to be fully present in this experience of the now, for the now. The downside of this, obviously, of this way of living is that a person says, I'm going to live for the now, and it doesn't matter what's going to be tomorrow, or it doesn't really matter what happened yesterday. I'm living for the now, right, for this immediate. So there's no consequence to my action because there is no future, and there's no responsibility for my past because there is no, and it's just I want to live for right now. So living now does not mean that. So what does it mean? Let's understand a little bit also, in order to understand what it means to be truly living in the present and being alive in the moment, living in the now, how it relates to the Torah's understanding of time, besides the idea of Hayom, that everything in the Torah is about today, and B'chol Yom Yikach Chadash, every single moment has to be alive as if it's right presently now. Let's understand this also in terms of the way most people live, or the way we understand most people live. A lot of times people live, either they're living with a sense of nostalgia, which is a certain type of yearning or longing for a past that is gone. A longing for a way of being or a way of the world or the way their life was unfolding in the past that is no longer. So there's a sense of nostalgia. So, or sometimes, and this is this need to be nostalgic and this need to enter into your past is usually because your present moment, wherever you're holding now right now in the present, is less exciting, or maybe even the opposite of that, and it's sort of an escape. So nostalgia is a way to separate yourself from this present moment and enter into a place of the past. Or sometimes a person lives with fantasy. What is fantasy? Fantasy means I'm not living in the present, so I'm living in a futuristic world where something will become of me, or my life will unfold in a better way. And both these ideas, whether a person is living with nostalgia in memory of things past and living in the place of remembrance of things past, just to live in the past, or living in the future, living in the present, in the state of a fantasy, is both robbing yourself from the most important part of time, which is the immediate present. So whether you're going into the past or going into the future, or moving into the future, you're robbing yourself from the most important part, which is the present. But on even a deeper level, not only is it robbing yourself from the most important part of time, which is the present, and which is not only robbing yourself from being in the place where you should be, which is the present, we'll understand why, but it's also the only truth that really exists in this present moment. The only thing that's really existing in this present moment is the now. However, that the past is gone. The past already exists as memory. It's not an existence. And the future is yet to come. The only true unfolding within time that's an actuality is this very present moment. The context that's giving rise to this present moment. Not the content of the moment, but the context. Not what I'm doing in the moment, but the content that's giving rise to this moment. And being living in your in a state of nostalgia and constantly trying to remember things past, or living in a state of future, which we'll understand soon, even though, of course, a lot of the Torah is about remembering the past and living for the future. We'll see how we can understand this. But being in this understanding where I'm nostalgic about my past and I love to sit and daydream about my past or daydream about my future, in a subtle way is also a form of avodah zarah, a form of idol worship. A form of avodah zarah. Because idols, the idea of avodah zarah, just like avodah zarah exists within space, that avodah zarah means, idol worship means, that when you separate the something from the everything, when Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, were in the Garden of Eden, and they were told, Mikol ha'etz ta'achal, they can eat from all the trees, from the everything, which is the tree of life, but they should not eat from something, from the particular. And the moment they ate mipiria, from the fruit, which means they separated the something from the everything, mi means from, says Zohar, the word mem stands for the word mavis, for death. They entered the world of death, of separation. The moment they separated the something from the everything, because everything is part of a lukus, everything is really an expression of divinity or unfolded within the divine self. Everything, the whole world, Eina Mavad, there's nothing else besides Hashem. And everything's an expression or unfolded within the ultimate expression of the infinite eye. What is idol worship? Idol worship means when I take a something and I worship it as something is separate from the other thing. If I say everything is a lakus, everything is divine, that's a positive posture. Of course, we have to live this way, and that to live this way is mitzidoi, not mitzidenu, is from his perspective, as it were, from the divine perspective, not from our perspective, and that's a very hard way to live, and almost an impossibility because we have our ego. But that's, conceptually, that is the correct idea. And every time we worship a particular thing, we're worshiping something, and we're separating from the everything. Another dimension, another aspect of idol worship is that when you worship, the worship of an idol represents, of a zohar represents, you're worshiping a thing. Not only is it something that's separate from everything, but it's actually a thing. It's in a molten image. This is a thing. It's a molten, it's a structure that's already defined and fixed. And our relationship to life, to the creator of life, is it's a lakim chayim, it's a living thing. A living organism, a living force that's created in the world. So when a person thinks or enters into the world of nostalgia and enters into the place of memory, and that's where they're leaving the place of their presence to be in a place of their past, or for that matter, in their future, it's a form of idol worship within time. Because what you're doing is you're separating the past from the present, or the future from the present. You're saying, my present is not worth living, and the only place that really gives me joy to be is in my past. So what you're saying is that the past is separated from the present. And if you're doing this in a futuristic way, in a world of fantasy, then you're separating the future from the present. And just like there's a concept, there's a construct of a dynamic of idol worship, of avodah zarah, within space, within things, within objects, is also avodah zarah. There's also a type of idol worship or separation within the world of time. If you're separating the future or the past from the present, that's a form of idol worship. Because, so where are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be in the only place that's actually true, which is the arising moment that's arising from the unmanifest. It's becoming manifest at every single moment. We say this every single morning. That Hashem gives life and gives and renews creation at every single moment. The renewal of creation, the rejuvenation, the recreation at every single moment is the only true reality. The arising of the manifest from the unmanifest at every single moment in this present moment. That's the only true reality, and that's the way we should be. So on one hand, we say that there is is Chachas Abri, this renewal of creation, and the moment is constantly being renewed in creation from ex nihilo, from the Bri Yesh Ma'ayin, a creation from ex nihilo. On the other hand, certainly we also subscribe and we certainly believe that time, there's a flow to time, that there's an order to time, there's a structure to time, which is that there was a Bereishis Bara Elokim, there was a creation, there was a beginning, in the beginning, with a purpose of a beginning, to reach a certain tachlis, to reach a certain end, which means time, just like there's a past, there's a movement from the past into the present, and there's a movement from the present, le'olam haba, into the world of the future, le'olam haba, to the world of the future, to movement into the future world, that the world is not a place of reishis goyim amalek v'chrisi adoev, it's not a place of a beginning and the end is doomed. But on the contrary, that the world, there's an arc of history, there's an arc of history that's moving forward, that there's progress. Progress means time, there's linear time. There's a beginning, there's an end, there's a middle, there's an end, there's movement. So on one hand, we're saying, Machadar Shtuv Chorim the Masav Reishis, that every single moment is renewed, and the only true space to be, the only true time to be in, is to be in the present unfolding moment, which is arising, not in the doing of it. That's the way we manifest ourselves in that, in the doing, what we're doing in the present moment and what is presented to us in this present moment, but to be in our conscious level, to be in this present unfolding and to be only present in this moment. On the other hand, we say clearly that there's so many things in the Torah that's about remembering the going out of Mitzrayim and lahavi l'moisa Mashiach, and to get to the place of Mashiach, to get to the place of Olam Haba for the future. So how do we understand this seemingly contradiction? So to understand this, we'll understand a little bit deeper understanding of the name of Hashem, because we're saying that Hashem is the living, the Lakim Chayim, the living divine force that gives creation. So in the name of Hashem, there are different names of God. And the ultimate name of God, the Shem of Mefarish, according to many, according to Rosh, is the idea of the name. This name is the Yud, the He, and the Vav, and the He. The Yud, the He, and the Vav, and the He spell out, if you write these letters out, you have the word Haya, He, Yud, and He, which means it was, past tense. Hoiva, He, Vav, He, which is present tense, it is. And also Yiyeh, it will be. Now, even though Yud, He, and Vav, and He is not Yud, He, and Yud, and He, which is Yiyeh, but we say, like we say every single day, we say a few times a day, Vayemahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. That day, Yiyeh Hashem Echad, the name Yud, He, will be the name of Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, the name Yud, He, and Vav, and He, because as explained, that the Zohar explains, and explained the Chassidus, that the idea that the Vav today, which is elongated letter, will eventually turn into He, which will rise upwards. So it'll be Yud, He, and Yud, and He. The point is that in the letters of Yud, He, and a Vav, and a He, we have past, present, and future, or representing past tense, present tense, and future tense. Haya, it was, it is, and it will be. And it's all combined in one name, which essentially means that the name Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, the name of Hashem, or otherwise known as the Tetragrammaton, the name of Yud Kei Vav, the name of Hashem, the name means a name that encompasses and encapsulates both past, present, and future, which is a dynamic that holds time, both past, present, and future, which means that it's infinite. It's infinite within the dimension of time, of course, because we're saying it's Echad, it's one. So within the dimension of time, it's both the past, the present, and the future, all encapsulated as one. Yet, where is the infinity of this name? Where is it expressed? Another way of understanding the name, the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He, the name of Hashem, is that Yud, put aside Yud for a second, and then you have He, Vav, He. The He, Vav, He spell the word Hoiveh, which is present. It is. Whenever you take a letter Yud and you place it in front of a word, what it does to that word is it makes that word an ever-unfolding idea. So, for example, like the Alter Rebbe writes in Shayach Ulmuna, in Tanya, that there's the word Asa, he's done, something has been done, or Oisa, he's doing it, and then Yasa, if you add the letter Yud to the word Asa, it becomes a continuous unfolding. So what is the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei? The name Yud Hei Vav Hei is the Hoiveh, the present unfolding, the Yud, that it's the continuous unfolding of the present moment, or the eternal now, the now that's constantly being rising into the now, that's constantly arising into the now. Now, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei also has within it the past, present, and future. So within the name of Hashem, it has both the present moment, the ever-unfolding present that's coming from the unmanifest and manifests itself into this world, giving life to this world. And it also has this idea of the infinite one that is beyond past, present, and future. Which means on a very deep level what this means, it means that there is the present moment that encompasses the past and the future. So let's understand this again. There are two ways how a person can think about their past or their future. And it works more with the past, but it also works the same thing with the future. One is what we said is a subtle form of idol worship, which means that I'm living in the present. So let's say a person subscribes to this awareness and says, I'm living in the present. And then I also have a past and a future. So how do I relate to my past and future? One way is to relate to my past and future is that the past is an absolute truth or a molten image of what happened in the past. It's defined. It's rigid. It's exactly the way it happened, which is actually what happened because now it's past tense. So it's the way it happened. And my relation, but this is the more important part, my relationship to that past is that past is defined as a past. It's unmalleable. It's unchangeable. And I am living in the present, even if I don't separate my past from my present. My relationship, which would be a subtle form of idol worship, which is things are not working out at my present, so I'm moving back into my past. But even if I'm living in the present with the awareness that I did have a past, the past, the experiences of my past is indelibly imprinted into the consciousness of my present without any possibility of me changing it. So I understand that I do have a past. My past is related to my present, and I'm trying to be fully in the present and recognizing that in being fully in the present, I also have to recognize that I come from a certain past. But my relationship to the past is that the past is already etched in stone. It's an absolute. There's nothing that I can do in the present to change my past. That's one way of living. And the same thing also with my future. So my relationship to self is now in the present. And my relationship to everything that happened in the past or will happen to me in the future is unrelated to my present moment. It has an effect on my present moment and it's pulling my present moment, but there's no agency, there's no power in my present moment to do anything about it. So in a sense, the past is separate. This is a more subtle form of a past separate from the present. In the first time we spoke about the past being separate from the present means I am focused on my present, and my present is not doing well, so I nostalgically move into my past. And so I'm separating myself from the present, from my present reality, and just daydreaming about my past. That's called level one. Level two, and that we said is the world of pure, the world of total separation, which is a subtle form of Vidzara. That's one level. Second grade is that I recognize that I'm fully, the only truth that is true is my present. And I recognize too that there was a past, but the past only affects my present. And I am in the effect of my past. So the past is already defined and it's absolute and enter that place in the present moment. I can choose to enter my past. I can choose to have memory of my past, but I cannot change my past because the past is absolute. So what you're essentially saying is that on the second level of this second grade we're talking about, there's still a level of separation between the past and the future and the present because I'm living in the present. The only truth is the present. But I'm saying even though that's a living truth, that's alive, that's constantly arising, yet my experiences of what I experienced in the past is absolutely defined and has no relationship in terms of my agency and my choice in the present moment for anything for me to do. So in that way, again, you're also separating your past. You're saying the past is dead, or the past is tuma, is impure. The past is a molten image. It's a form. It's an idol. It's an absolute. And my relationship is that it's affecting me. But the highest level of the name of Hashem reveals that what is Yud Kevav, the Yud in the Hoiva, the Yud in the ever-unfolding present. That means the ultimate expression, which, and the only true reality, is actually the present moment, the Mechadash to Gehoyt Maserations, that moment that everything is being renewed at every single moment. But this present moment also includes the past and also includes the future. Not includes the past and the future because it's Yudke Vavke. Not includes the past and the future just because it's affecting the present moment, but because it's enfolded within the present moment. And just like the enfolded present moment at every single moment has the possibility to, we have the possibility to change. There's agency, this prayer, this free choice. Because at every single moment I'm alive, it's a new moment, a new arising. And therefore I can choose how I'm going to live at every single moment. That has to extend. If we're living truly in the present moment, in the yud of the hoiva, in the ever-unfolding internal present, it must also include our past and our future. But it has to be included within the context of a living present. So what does it actually translate? What does that translate? What does that mean? That means that my experiences of my past is constantly being filtered through the prism of my own consciousness in the present. And my present, I do have choice. I could do tshuva. The whole idea of tshuva, of change, is absolutely intricately connected to the idea of choice. And they're both connected to hayoyim. I'm commanding you today. Today is the operative, most important word for the idea of tshuva and pchir, for both tshuva, for change and transformation, and for the possibility of pchir. That's why the Rambam writes the laws of pchir, the laws of choice. That choice is given to every single man in the laws, speaking about tshuva, because this agency of the present, which means I can choose at every single moment how I am reliving my past. That is the novelty of truly living in the moment. That's the ultimate expression of truly living in the moment. So again, to make it very simple and to really define this very clearly, there are, besides living in the now versus living for the now, or living in the content of the now versus living in the context of the now, which is I'm doing something now, or I'm being in the now, which we're talking about the being in this level of being in the now. In this way of being, which is the way we have to be, there are also, in terms of our relationship to our past and to our future, living in the now, three ways how we can do it. One way, which is the lowest level of living, is I'm living now. My life is not working out. I would rather escape into my past or to my future. And that's total separation in time. Total idea of period of separation. The world, leaving the world of Achdus, Amad Yechuda, and entering into the world of Amad Pirudu, entering into the world of separation. That's one form. A higher level or a deeper level of living is that I recognize that the only true moment is the present moment. And I'm not trying to escape it. I'm just recognizing the effects of the past, both positive and the negatively. So let's say a person is going through a hard time in the present moment, so they could enter into this past memory of something, a past experience that can give them like a certain, they recall a certain memory of a positive experience that they had, or a positive encounter they had, or a positive place that they were in their life, and that can give them and say, okay, that's really affecting my present moment. It gives me, and I'll draw from that memory into the present moment. Okay, that's a nice idea, but it's only level two, because what ultimately you're still saying is that the past is absolute and separate from the present moment. The third and deepest way of living, this is what we're trying to achieve, and to live this way, to be this way in this world, is to recognize that the only true moment is the moment. That's the yud, that's the haiva, that's the yud that's constantly unfolding in the present moment. But this present moment includes all the past and the future, because I have choice, I have agency, I have power in the present moment, how exactly I'm going to recontextualize my past or my future. I'm not just the effects of my past, but I can choose in this present moment, do I want to be a victim of my past, or I want to be a creator of my past? And I can choose in this present moment how my relationship to the past will be, and how the flow from that experience, how am I going to experience that flow? Is it going to be something that's positive or negative? And that's up to me at every single moment to choose. Every single moment, we have free choice. We have the ability to connect to the yud, the hey, and the vav, which is transcendent of time, in the present moment, of the unfolding present moment that is emerging as a new reality at every single moment. Every single moment is new, and the old is done, is gone. But in this present moment of me experiencing my renewal, my newness, in this present moment, I could recontextualize, retranslate, recreate every experience that I had in my past according to the prism of the way I want to live in this present moment. And I can choose it if I believe it. And when I believe it and I choose it, I actually create it, and I actually create my future as well in my present moment. Not just hoping for a future, but I'm creating my future in the choices that I'm making and the way I'm living in this present moment. And that's the highest way and the deepest way and the Torah-dic way that the Torah is speaking about what it means to truly live in the present moment, in the now.